Hello, guys. I don't know why I was doing that. Okay. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to She's the Phoenix with Natasha Lynn. Ooh, it's good to be here. I'm trying to do big girl shit and record more throughout the week instead of last week was a little sketch, okay, y'all? We got real close to the deadline of not having a podcast done in time for my deadline. So, we're not doing that. Which means that things are going to be a little more chaotic for me, but it's okay. Not really something that I'm worried about. Chaos is kind of my safe space. I know that's silly, but, okay. I've been thinking a lot about the podcast, where I wanted to go, what I want to talk about, where I, if I want to be shelled into a certain category, or if I kind of want to be, bigger than just, which we've talked about a little bit, me and the grief and, the trauma, and not just being a podcast where we reiterate that every time, because we have lives too. We're still here living and trying to live and surviving, these things that we've gone through. So it's definitely obviously going to always kind of work its way into whatever topic we're talking about, but it doesn't have to be the sole focus. It doesn't have to be sole focus for me. It does not need to be sole focus for you. We have life to live around grief. Okay, so I wanted to talk about being a child. Okay, so being hyper independent, but also so codependent as a child, taught how to do that as a child, and then what that looks like as an adult, I guess is where we're going with this one. Which is okay. I'm just gonna riff for you guys and see where it takes us. So going to therapy, which I have been now for a couple months, I think 2 months, maybe a little longer. I started to reflect a lot on different spaces in my life, and I realized that I'm hyper independent in weird ways, with a very matching energy and codependency. And not necessarily with my spouse. My codependency is attached to my parents, which is really weird for me to think about, because there were a lot of moments in my childhood where I could not rely on them to be there. And
as soon as my little brother came into the picture, things were a lot different. I wanted to be, mommy number two, and I just always showed up, for my brother. I just always wanted to take care of him. And then he kind of became my responsibility. So I was super independent in ways, because I would take care of him, and I would help take care of him, and I would walk home and wait for him and take him home from school, and I would kind of help take care of him, because my dad wasn't always my dad was laid off at one point, and he wasn't really the most reliable about, he'd be there, but sometimes I don't really know if he was there or not, if you understand what I'm saying. And my dad was an addict, so he wasn't allowed to use in the house with us, but that didn't stop him at all. And so that really, when you're in middle school and your brother's in elementary school, I mean, I'm old enough to take care of myself, but, my brother, I just try to keep distracted a lot. And, how does this all pull into, hyper-independence with codependence, and, I mean, hyper-independence comes from being a kid and having to not just be independent for myself, but be independent for another child, you know, and then, like, always trying to be helpful and, you know, make it easier and walk on eggshells, and really try not to breathe too heavy and, you know, just certain things because they would cause issues, so I thought. And I didn't want to be the reason why, you know, I didn't want to add to the reason why. And so at the same time, like, lots of weird codependent habits were taught and not really taught, but like, I mean, they weren't like, this is how to be codependent. But, you know, what I witnessed was a lot of codependency. So that's what I learned. While being told to be independent, and, you know, and so, and then watching how that all played out. I don't want to, like, get super in depth into, like, certain parts of my childhood right now. But I do, like, want to talk about, like, what happens when you become super codependent but equally hyper independent, and then, like, how fucked that is as an adult. So, like, I never felt like I needed to really ask permission. Well, after a certain point, I didn't feel like I needed to as a kid. But, like, now, with every decision, which we are, I'm coming out of this space, it's a lot of fucking work. It's a lot of work. I feel like at 28 years old, I still have to ask permission to do shit with my life. Like, I'm a whole ass woman. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. Been a wife. Wife again. Like, I, you know, I run a household. I pay fucking bills. Like, I do all this stuff, right? And there's some things, like, I just make those decisions and I don't need anyone's input on it. And then, like, big life decisions, like, I'm gonna start a business. I have to, like, call, well, I would call my dad, but he's gone. So, like, I call my mom and I, like, ask her and I tell her about it to see, like, what she says. Like, is she gonna give me the go-ahead? I'm 28 and I'm looking to get approval from my mother on if I can start a business or not. Or any big decision, if I can get a new car, if I can move, if, oh my god, sometimes they're not even big decisions, they're just little decisions, you know, like, what if they don't like, it's just ridiculous. I want to go back to school, so I'm, like, looking for permission for that, and along this journey, I've realized that it's crippled me. I don't even know how to just make decisions, big decisions for myself. And I don't think that everybody just makes big decisions and knows what the hell they're doing. But I do think that people, you know, yeah, we reflect, we ask other people, make sure we're not batshit crazy for the ideas that we have. But I feel like there are adults in this world who can make big decisions and not need any validation from their parent on if it's the right or wrong decision. And it's okay to need to reflect, or, you know, make sure there's a voice of reason if you feel like you are not being a voice of reason. But for me, it's not about a voice of reason. It's me literally feeling I need to ask permission to live my life. Okay. And I'm realizing how this is now. Wow, this is pinging just in my head right off the get-go. How this has affected my friendship. So, like, before I could even fail in certain senses, like, they fixed it, right? Before it got to the point where I really couldn't do it, my parents would be like, oh, no, it would just do this. Or, oh, we'll do this. Like, they didn't let me fall on my ass. And I know that that sounds so, like, bougie as shit for some people. Like, God, I wish I had that problem. But it was fucked up. It wasn't normal, okay? And there was a lot of other shit happening in my childhood and my early adult years that was not normal, okay? So that they didn't let me fall on my ass completely was, like, the one fucking thing that they could have done right. I suppose. Or, like, the one thing they could have done to make me feel supported out of the hundreds of things that I wish they had done. And sometimes, like, I can't stand it because I feel like I've been ripped off. I feel like I've been ripped off from learning things. Sometimes you just need to learn shit the hard way. And I have learned some really fucking hard lessons, but I feel like I would have learned them sooner. I would have understood them more. And if even if I hadn't, I know they were trying to save me from certain things. And they didn't want me to go down certain roads. And they didn't want me to end up with an addiction problem. And they didn't want this. And they didn't want that. And they didn't want me to end up pregnant. And they didn't want me to do this. There's so many things that they didn't want me to do that they were trying to protect me from. That it kept me scared of living life. And then my husband died. And that has put so much more fear than I already had about making decisions and living life. That it's literally like debilitating sometimes. Like I don't even know how to fucking function. I'm learning right now. But it wasn't like that. You know, like I have to do scary shit now at 28. Which I wish I would have been doing when I was way younger. And I wish, and not even just like, you know, in my early 20s or whatever. But like as a child, I wish I had had more. We're going to give the freedom to make whatever choice, even if it equals failure. And then we're going to show you how to stand up, brush your knees off, and keep fucking going. And in a sense, they did do that. But in a lot of senses, they were like, ooh, looks like she's tripping. I think she tripped. There was a little rock. And I think that she tripped. We need to take her home. Like, we need to just bubbles around her. And, which is crazy because, like, I was still exposed to a lot of shit, okay? But they didn't want me to fail. And mainly it was financially when I think about, no, it wasn't. That's a fucking lie. So many other ways too, okay? They didn't want me to do the same relationship. They didn't want me to be an addict. They didn't want me to, you know, fuck up in school. They didn't want me to do a lot of different things. You know, they were way too involved in my relationships. Always way too involved in my relationships. You know, and some kids would probably say, God, I wish my parents were more involved and cared about who I was with. And they did. Okay, this is the thing, though. They were involved and invested in the person I was with. But when it came down to the things that happened that really fucking hurt and, like, how things ended, it wasn't ever the fact that they hurt me. It was now that the significant other had hurt them, that they were hurt. It was never about protecting me in those certain circumstances. Yeah, there's like a lot of shit that comes with that. Like, and you know, like the seeking of approval of the relationships, like, is this okay? Is this person okay? Will they mesh well with my family? Like, are they messed up enough to fit in? Can they handle my life? Can they handle my mother who doesn't have a filter and my dad who doesn't seem to really give a fuck about anybody's existence half the time? You know, and everything else that came into it. I just, boy, I just wanted to reflect myself and tell you guys, it's time to stop waiting for permission from whatever it is that has created this codependent, part of you. You don't need anyone's permission to make the right decision or the wrong decision or to find out if it was right or wrong along the way. You just get to make the fucking decision. Okay? We get to make the decision. It's okay to make the decision. It's okay to make the wrong decision. It's okay to make the right decision. It's okay to make a decision that nobody else would think that you should make. It's okay to make the decision that doesn't make any fucking sense. It's okay to make the decision that makes total fucking sense. It's okay. No matter what, it's fucking okay. You know why? Because it always, always is going to come full circle. No matter what. You're going to learn your lesson. You're going to succeed. You're going to grow where you need to. And that's on me telling you I am learning. And not everything is fucking fun, man. Like, I've made some big decisions, scary decisions, you know, large chunks of money spent decisions that was my money. I don't know why I always feel like I need to clarify that. But, you know, and I fucking failed. I mean, in a sense, if you mean, did I make my money back? No. I learned some shit. A lot more lessons than what I intended to learn. I learned about my impulsive fuckingness that just drives me nuts. I learned a lot of stuff, you know? But I'm learning that it's okay no matter if I make the wrong decision or not. Because I decided for myself that I got to make this fucking decision. And at the same time, like, the hyper-independent part of me is like, look at me, I'm doing all this shit. But it was also created very toxically. So sometimes I really struggle with, like, oh, hey, you know, we're supposed to be a team. Like, in my relationships, I've really struggled. I'm okay helping. I'm okay showing up for them. But they want to show up for me, and that ain't gonna happen. I'm gonna fucking fight it every single step of the way. I'm gonna be ornery about it. I'm gonna be sassy as hell. Yeah, it's not, I'm so, like, you don't want to owe anybody anything. So that's what created the hyper-independent part of me. I didn't want to owe anyone anything. I always wanted to cover my half or more. I always wanted to be able to cover everybody else. I never wanted anybody to feel like I took advantage of them or that they had to take care of me. I needed to be, you know, I needed to take care of myself. Always. My phone today is just, like, not my recording phone. I don't know what's happening, but I don't like it. It's, like, moving. I've had to move it twice while doing this podcast. Anyways, that's a side note. You guys don't need to know. I don't know. I just, like, so here's where we're gonna pivot from this. When I decided and realized that I needed to get fucking control over the codependent part of me and stop waiting for mommy or daddy, who is dead and never gonna tell me that I can do it or that he believes in me because he's dead. When I decided that no longer was gonna be how I functioned, where I functioned, how I made my decisions, which, you know, I can say it, but I have to act on it and I have to follow through over and over and over. And it doesn't just happen, like, overnight. Like, it's not just that simple. This has been conditioned into my brain my entire life, and now I'm trying to reprogram it. It takes fucking time, okay? So if you are trying to get out of this codependent, weird, fucked up thing that you have going with your family or with whoever, like, it's okay that you don't just get it on the first or the second or the fifth fucking try or the 20th try, okay? It's gonna take a hot minute. It's gonna take a bit. It could take years for you to fully fucking get there. And that's okay. You're trying to heal something that was so wrong, but it was a core belief that was created inside of you by people that you were supposed to be able to trust. And not that that makes them bad people at all, but you were supposed to be able to trust these people to teach you the best way to live, right? And they passed down their traits and what they learned, sometimes not even realizing that what they were passing down was fucked up. You know, my dad was hyper independent because he had to be. My mom was hyper independent because she had to be. Were they super codependent on each other? Oh, fuck yeah. It was toxic. And I watched that. I grew up in that situation. And I see what they were trying to do with me. I see the good in what they were trying to do. In making me realize, you know, take care of myself. And at the same time, also, for lack of better terms, babying the shit out of me and making me super codependent on them. Like, I was just so dependent on them in certain ways. Like, I would freeze. I didn't even know how to function without them coming to my rescue. And sometimes it frustrates me because I just wonder how they didn't see what that was doing to me. It was paralyzing me. And then at some point, I got really frustrated, you know, when I realized they've made a lot of big fucking decisions for me that were not their fucking space. It was not okay that they made those decisions for me. It wasn't. It was fucked up that they made those decisions for me. I mean, for one, we could talk about, there's one decision that bugs the shit out of me. You know, they decided that I was the only one who wasn't going to be there out of my whole family when Curtis died. And not my, I'm not mad at my brother or his friend that was with him. Okay, they were there. Out of all things my brother should have done, which was, you know, there was already 911, lots of things happening, was call my mom. It made sense for him to call my mom. I would have called my mom in that situation too. But here's the next fucking thing. My mom was staring at me while my brother's screaming about what's happening to my husband. She's staring at me. I'm holding my son and I'm standing in the laundry room. And in that moment, I could have been given the right to know what was going on and to be taken there, regardless of the trauma that it would have provoked in my own life. It doesn't fucking matter because that was not a moment where they should have gotten the right to protect me from something. Everybody else got to start their grieving process right then, and I waited hours to find out anything. And I had no idea why they were gone. I had no idea what was taking so long or why nobody was responding and why my grandma was there and there was lots of weird shit happening, okay? And that's just one of very, so many moments that I feel like they decided that they got to choose for me. They got to live it for me, protect me from it, however the fuck you want to spin it. And it's not about, oh, I wanted to be there so that I could have that trauma bond too. Do you think I really want to fucking be there? No. Like, for the trauma bond, do you think I wanted the trauma of what the fuck was witnessed that day? No, I didn't. But you know what I wanted? The fucking choice. I wanted the choice. I wanted the choice all the time. I wanted the choice to fail and lose my job and not be able to pay my rent or figure it out, you know, or have to fucking figure it out. But I didn't, because they fixed it every time. They decided for me, well, just come home. Just come back home. And I used to think that that was so great. And like, oh, my kids will always feel like they can come home. And don't get me fucking wrong, they will always feel like they can come home. But they will learn how to earn their motherfucking keep too. And they will learn how to make their own goddamn decisions, whether or not I want them to make those decisions or not. And I will not be the one to stop them from experience shitty shit in life. And I know that that might sound horrible of me, but it is not my job to decide what experiences they get after a certain point in life. And it's still my job to decipher and explain and break it down and make it a teachable learning moment and not just shield them from shit as a kid. Life is gonna come for them either way. But fuck, man, I wish I had been more prepared for how life was gonna come at me, which sounds crazy because I was raised in a home with a codependent and a serious addict. So you'd think that I would know a little bit about life, but I was really fucking shielded from some things, and that's so weird. I lived in a weird dynamic, okay? you know, and we weren't allowed to talk about what was happening inside the family, and nobody brought it up, and nobody knew, and we would smile, and we would look like the perfect little family on the outside, you know, but we were fucked up on the inside, you know, and there's lots of things, okay, points where they would have, like, decided that they got to, make decisions for me and let my boyfriends move in when I was way too young. My very first boyfriend, they let him move in. Why? I was 15. Why did we let that happen? We should not have let that happen. But we did. Okay, I'm trying to make mental notes to myself about things that I do not want to do with my kids. You know, but, like, they made that decision. And what I mean by that is, like, yes, I asked for it at 15, obviously. But they made that decision on letting my life go that route. They could have protected me from that situation. They could have decided differently. But this is the other thing. I don't know. This isn't, like, a me just talking. I guess it is in a way. But this isn't just me, like, my parents weren't horrible human beings, okay? I just had fucked up things that were passed down to them that were happening to me. And, oh, damn it. The thought. Sorry, guys. The thought left my brain. There's just so many things where I should have been more protected from. And then the things that I was protected from, I probably should have been able to learn more from them. I should have been let go of more and been able to just learn that on my fucking own. With regardless of what they wanted for me. So now as an adult, what do I do with all of that? Like how do you move on? How do you heal from it? How do you come to terms with it? How do you accept an apology that might not ever be given? How do you apologize to yourself for something that you didn't even do? How do you learn how to not feel so unsure of yourself? I don't have the answer all the way. I don't. I can tell you what I do now. I have very supportive people in my life who are aware. I've brought this up, so they are aware of my need for approval from others, and they tell me they love me, they can't give me their opinion, it's my decision, they support me no matter what I do. It's the most painful fucking thing that I have to hear, because I mentally don't know how to handle that a lot of times, but I need it, because it means that I have to make the decision. My husband is real good at this now. You do whatever you want to do. You're going to do great at it no matter what. And if you fail, you'll get back up and you'll do something else. Oh, thanks, honey. That's what I wanted. So now it's just on me, huh? If this fucks up, it's on me. No one else is going to take the blame for it. And that's something else that I was conditioned to because of all this. I didn't even know how to take responsibility sometimes for shit, because somebody else would just take responsibility for me. And I was left not having to understand the consequences of my actions. You know, on the rare occasion where they did try to punish me and teach me a consequence, they didn't follow through. You know, the biggest consequence I ever learned as a teenager was, if you drink and you get caught and you get an MIP, they will make you try to go to treatment. If you don't want to go to treatment, then you lose your license and you pay lots of money for being a dumbass. You know, but, like, I didn't learn other. There was just not things done the way they should have in my head. And it created this little wreck of a being that you're listening to just ramble right now. I hope some of this makes sense. I always say that, but I do. I hope that somebody understands what I'm saying. I share this shit, not because, like, I feel like I need to reiterate it, because trust me, I do this enough in therapy. I talk about it because I want other people to know, like, you're not fucking alone. If you had weird shit in your family, like, if you grew up in a childhood home like this, like, if you feel unsure about yourself, and fuck, maybe you didn't have a bad upbringing, but you still feel really fucking unsure of yourself, you need to know that you're not alone. My reasoning for why I feel unsure might be different than your reasoning, but we're still here together in this little land of the unknown. Oh my gosh, hold on. Trying to hold in the sneeze. Okay. Okay, and I think I said, so what do we do to fix that? And then I was like, oh, let me rant for 15 more minutes. Okay. What do we do now? What do we do now? Again, what the fuck do we do now? We're so codependent, slash hyper independent, slash how the fuck do we move through this? Like, how do we move on? How do we grow from it, learn from it, heal from it? Especially when, you know, those people that did it to us might very much so be the same way. And we might not know either. We might still have a very strong relationship with them, which is normal when you're very codependent to have that relationship stay strong and only get stronger. Not in healthy ways either. That's not what I mean. I mean, it is healthy and it can be healthy. So, I have to set these serious freaking boundaries. Specifically, like, with my living parent. Because my dead parent can't tell me what to do now. Or protect me from shit. But, like, and then that part sucks. Like, only being able to set boundaries with my mom, and then feeling like sometimes she gets this shit into the stick. Like, she doesn't just get, like, the boundaries that should have been set with her, but she gets the boundaries that should have been set with my dad, and they don't even really need to be set with her, but now she's getting, like, a double whammy because, like, I don't know how to just not do that part. Like, I feel like it needs to be set all the way around, and some of it is applicable to her, but not all of it, and it's hard. And it's shitty, and I feel like I'm taking out shit on her that she didn't have anything to do with. But in a way, she did. But boundaries, man, they're hard. Especially, like, having the conversation of, hey, you gotta stop trying to make every decision for me and saving me from the world, okay? The world done came and fucked my life up, regardless of what you wanted to happen. It happened. Even when you wanted to try and protect me from it, you couldn't. That's the thing. You thought you were protecting me in that moment, but you couldn't protect me from it because it was my life, and I understand it was their life too, but it was my life. My whole entire life was changed the day I lost my husband. Okay? My life changed. I had a brand new baby. I just got married. We were buying a business that I was not doing the physical work for. Yet, we toyed with me doing it too, but you know what I mean? Like, there's now all that was changing. Now I had to be the only parent. I was the only parent. I am the only parent. And I don't mean that in, like, my husband now is a fantastic dad. The world's best dad. One of them. He's wonderful. He's a wonderful dad. I admire him so much for the relationships that he has built. But I'm still the only parent at the end of the day. I'm the one. I'm the one it falls on. I'm the one who makes every decision. I'm the one who makes the ultimate decision. I'm the one that gets up in the middle of the night. I'm the one that's gotten up in the middle of the night. I'm the one that was always there. I'm the one that had to make every decision for us alone. It's just me. Even being married, it's still ultimately me. And that isn't like me saying that he doesn't get a say, he doesn't have this or that, before y'all come for me on this topic. Like, yeah. Okay. How do we get here? But, okay, we're gonna pivot back. Oh, gee, I riffed off a riff. Being the only parent has been wild with my codependent, hyper-independent issue. Because I don't have anybody to be codependent on. Can't be codependent on my baby. I mean, in some weird way I could, but I'm not gonna do that to him. So now I just have to be independent. I have to make these decisions, you know? I have to show the fuck up for him, even when I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So that's how we break the cycle. That's how you stop doing it. You become ultra aware of what all is going on and what decisions you're making and how that's going to affect your children if you have them. And if you don't have them, reflecting on if you truly are making a decision because it's what you want to make or if but that's what you think everybody else wants you to make. Okay? It's a big fucking difference. Making a decision because you want to make it is the only way you should be making decisions. Making decision because you think everybody else is going to be okay with it and that it'll work out okay. Great. If that's how you want to live a half-ass lived life and you never want to be fully happy, that's what's going to happen. We have lived too long that way. We're changing it. We're not living that way anymore. We get to make our own fucking decisions. We get to fail. We get to thrive. We get to do it all on our own. And that comes with the boundaries. That comes with the courage to stop waiting for permission. To understand that you and yourself are capable, smart enough, strong enough to make decisions without anybody else telling you yes or no or why not. You just get to make the decision because it fucking feels right for you, okay? That's why we make the decision. That's why we start doing the things we want to do. That's why you build the business you want to build. That's why you pick the family that you pick. That's why you raise your kids the way you want to raise them. That's why you're in the relationship that you want to be in. Or you're not in a relationship because you don't want to be in it. Or you work somewhere. Or you quit your job. Or you start a new job. Or you move. Or whatever it is in your life that you want to do, but you're waiting for somebody else to tell you that it's okay because you are codependent to that behavior. You are done fucking doing that. And it doesn't mean that you won't ever do it again, but you start telling yourself right now that you don't need anybody's permission to do it. I tell myself every single day, I don't need permission to do this. It's my life to live. It's my life. How do I want my life to go? How do I want the story to go? What do I want it to be like? Like, what stories do I want my grandkids to know about me? What story do I want my kids to know? How do I want my kids to show up for their kids? Okay? That's how I have to show up now. I get to make every single decision whether I want it to happen or not. I get to make it. And it feels fucking empowering to say that. I get to be the decider. In my life. Even when it's scary, even when I'm so indecisive, I could lose my mind and just want somebody to choose for me, or I throw a fit about how I always have to make all the decisions. Like, shut up, bitch, you make decisions about dinner. It's not that big of a fucking deal. Like, don't quote me on that because I'll probably throw a fit about it for the rest of my life, but whatever. I still get to make these big ass decisions for myself. Nobody is gonna be able to live my life better than I am. So nobody should be making these decisions but me. Nobody is walking in my shoes. Nobody is in my body besides me. And it's my soul needs to know what I'm doing. My soul needs these, these lessons, these stories, this chance to learn. And so a really easy, good way to start doing that and like deciding what it is that you really want to be doing. Versus what, your codependent part of you is waiting to do. First, I believe in speaking it into existence. I believe in manifestation. I believe that you can bring into your life what you are ready to will into your life. And I believe that if you see it, it makes it 100% more easy to believe it. Don't quote me on that in every aspect of life. But what I'm saying is, sit down, go get a million magazines. We'll be about to be old school shit. And if you can't, okay, Amazon has some great things now. Not, like, 100% wonderful. I still think magazines are the best route for this, okay, guys? But they make, like, books and stuff for vision boards. And I know it feels cheesy and I know it feels, like, just ridiculous. But sit down, and even if it takes you a week, make a vision board. Cut out the words that you want to be. Cut out the places that you want to go. Cut out the things you want to do. Cut out the things you want to have. Okay? Put it on a board. Look at it every single day. Somewhere where you can look at it every single day and say, I am living this life. These things are coming into, they're already happening. They're already on their way. They are going to be here for me. I'm going to choose decisions that make these things possible for me. Okay? I have a vision board, a beautiful vision board. I love it. I use an Amazon book. Not my favorite thing in the world, but magazines were a pain in the ass to find for a while. Okay? It's my favorite thing. My vision board is my favorite thing to look at in my office because I see the things that have come to fruition already. And I just made this in October or November, that's actually quite a bit of time now, but still I'm in October, November, and I'm already seeing things in my life that have come full circle and like met what I wanted on the vision board, which means that I'm going to have to make a new one at some point because not everything fits on the vision board. And, you know, so a lot of people do this yearly. I think that it needs to be done more than once a year because you're an ever-changing person. If you are not evolving, changing, and not feeling like you were who you were 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 9 months ago, a year, you need to do some reflecting. If you're comfortable staying stagnant in where you're at, then you probably shouldn't even be, and you probably aren't listening to this podcast, to be real. Anyways, this is for the doers. The dreamers, the believers, the ones who want to be rebellious and do things differently and make a statement and change shit and break generational trauma and curses and are ready to move the fuck forward and level the fuck up, okay? That's why you're here and that's why you're listening to it. 'Cause that's what I'm doing with my life. So if your energy isn't the same, it's never going to match. You're never going to follow through on listening to the podcast. And you're never really going to get what you need out of it. Because you ain't trying to get anything out of it. All of that. Just about a vision board. Okay? The vision board. The words. Write them. Go get a freaking Expo pen. Write that shit on a mirror. Write that shit wherever you need to write it down. Make post-it notes. Stick in places. Don't do it all over in your car and shit because it's not safe. This is a personal experience. Put post-it notes, you know, on the wall, in the kitchen. Go to Marshall's, Ross, TJ Maxx, Home Goods, wherever you have to Walmart to shop for those little signs. You know, I have signs in my podcast room I look at while I'm podcasting. One of them says, keep going, like 7 times. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. 3 little words. Prayer, trust, wait. Okay? Another one. It's only when you stop trying that you truly fail. Okay? This is because I need a reminder. Like, I can fucking do this. I don't need anybody to do it for me. I don't need anybody to protect me from it. I don't need anybody to make the decision for me. I just get to do it. I just get to make the decision. Okay? Fill your life with positive affirmations all around you that say you are badass and you can make this decision. You don't need anybody else to make the fucking decision for you. You got this. You can do it. Even if you make the worst decision, it will be okay. Because I guarantee you it ain't the worst decision you ever made. I guarantee you'll make another worse decision than that one. I guarantee you you'll learn the lesson from it. And if you don't learn the lesson from it, I think you'll do it about 15 more times. And then eventually you will learn the lesson from it. And if you don't, then you're going to have to come back and do it again. So I highly suggest learning the lesson from it. Yeah. I hope this, I hope that this really helps. It helps me. It makes me feel really empowered again. It's a good place to be. We get to make the decisions in our lives. We get to acknowledge I am codependent. I am hyper independent. I have struggling issues with that from my childhood. And I'm making choices every day to heal that and to fix it and to know and trust that I am capable of making my own decisions. Because there's that whole part of it too, of knowing and trusting yourself, believing that you can make those right decisions, believing that you can follow through, and trusting that it's okay, that you don't need somebody there to catch you every time you trip or you scuff your knee, okay? It's okay to fall down and get back up 155,000 times, okay? If you hit 156,000 times, then you might as well throw in the fucking towel and say, nah, I'm good. I'm just kidding. The point is that codependent, not codependent, hyper-independent, not hyper-independent, you struggle with making fucking decisions in your life, and you're waiting for somebody else to give you permission, stop waiting. You're the only person that needs to give yourself permission. You're the only person that gets to decide how you live your life. So take it back, set the fucking boundaries, make the vision board, write the little notes, go to the store and buy the weird motivational quotes, okay? Looking at another one, the sun will rise and we will try again, okay? Pick what you need to hear to know that you can do it. I'm rooting for you. You gotta root for you. I'm rooting for me. I'm my biggest cheerleader. For a lot of years, I really thought it was so conceited to love myself and cheer myself on. And you know, I don't give a fuck if anybody thinks it is. I'm so proud of myself. I'm so proud of the things I'm healing. So proud of the things I've healed. So proud of the things I'm getting ready to heal. I'm so proud of the shit that I'm doing with my life. The difference I'm making. One day, this will be, you know, this little weird riff podcast will be like, ah, oh my god, I cannot believe I did a podcast like that. And I'm still gonna be fucking proud of it. I'm never gonna be embarrassed by it. I might giggle about it, but I'm gonna be so proud of myself because you know what? I never gave up, and I stopped waiting for fucking permission to live my life, okay? That's all, guys. That's all. I love y'all so much, and I just really hope that these podcasts really give you some kind of hope, some kind of help, some kind of relief, some kind of connection if you're feeling alone. That's why I'm here. Yeah. Okay. Connect with me on all the socials, baby. Okay. Natasha Lynn on Facebook. That's where we can connect the most. I'm the most interactive on there. So you want to be a part of it, just comment on my stuff. I try to get back to everyone that I can. Sometimes things get super viral and then it's really hard to keep up, but I will try my best. You message me on there. I will try my best to get back to you as soon as I possibly can. I'm not trying to ignore anybody. I love people reaching out and telling me their story. I love hearing about how I'm helping you or things you need to move through. I love giving advice if it's something that's wanted. I love being a listening ear. I just love connecting. Okay, guys, it makes me feel so alive and so good, and like I'm getting to do what I want to do. So Natasha Lynn on Facebook, Natasha Lynn _official on Instagram, She's the Phoenix podcast on YouTube and TikTok, I believe. It's either She's the Phoenix or She's the Phoenix podcast on both of those. And if you aren't, you can go onto YouTube, look for She's the Phoenix, and I have all of these podcasts recorded, and it's just very basic, but you can see me if that's something that you are more in the vibe of. It was just like watching versus just listening, so that is an option too. And if you can subscribe anywhere you can, follow anywhere you can, and leave a review on the podcast, okay? Leave a review, share this with a friend. If you feel like you resonated with it, share it on your story. It helps me grow. It helps get the podcast out there, helps more people heal. That's what we're here to do, right? So, yeah. Thank you guys. I love you guys. This is She's the Phoenix with Natasha Lynn. I cannot wait to see y'all next time. Love you. Bye.